Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons and Dummies, a weekly podcast following four friends as they battle across a homebrewed world called Interiath in Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition.
Step into the mystical world of Interiath and follow as our party of dummies adventure across the lands. Tali Grug, half orc, half fighter, the mystery, played by Taylor. The Eclarian Shadow, half elf ranger from the Eclarian Mountains, played by Seth. And Alirlock Bloodhair, a Harangon cleric, played by Joey. Last but not least, the creator of our beautiful world, the man of many voices, and our dungeon master, Sam. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for listening. We are so glad you were here with us. Hey, please take a moment, if you don't mind, give us a rating and a review on your podcast app. Check us out on dndanddummies.com. It's got links to all of our social media, that sort of stuff. Just to give a quick little recap, in the last few episodes, the party continues their journey into the Underdark. What began as a simple bounty board mission to rescue our old friends, the Kreetox, has turned into something far more sinister. We were trapped by gelatinous cubes in a strange room with a dwarf shackled to the wall named Gonal Goodrock. We fought some undead minions, fought our way through these strange machinations, and made it into a laboratory of sorts. There we got into our most epic fight to this point in this campaign. After 4 hours or so of real time, we defeated dozens of fleshlies, build bots, and this strange, gory flesh golem that squished Gonal Goodrock, our new buddy, underfoot. We have hunkered down in this room after a small door opened up, revealing another hallway, and that is where we pick up here.
Okay, all right, so first things first.
Here we go.
Before we do the exciting part that I know you guys are all jazzed up about, that I text you about.
Oh, yeah, about that.
I would like to do a couple things. So you guys are going to take a long rest, right?
I think we have to.
I have 11 to. HP.
I have 12.
Do we get to level up before we take a long rest?
I'm just going to tell you guys, y'all are gonna get your rest. So I'd like to do a few things. Starting with a little trip to one of our favorite places that there is, Imagination Land.
I wasn't ready for this one.
Be prepared, like Scar would say. Close your eyes and imagine a cool, crisp autumn night, not unlike what we're having here in Arkansas today. A younger but still fully grown Alirlock settling down for the night in a quaint and cozy home. He crawls into bed and very soon, comfort and exhaustion lulls young Alir into a deep sleep. Dreams are usually brief flashes for Alir, and this night's no different. The arid breeze and rolling hills form the background for him and his sister, Kina, chasing away small creatures from the garden. Wait a second, it wasn't chasing, they're running. Running away? He tries to look behind him, as all he can see is a massive shadow convulsing and contorting towards them at high speed. Kina, running beside him, suddenly trips and falls to the ground. She bellows out, "Rup!" before being swallowed by its shadow entirely. Alir wakes to a sound, but it's not a normal sound, it's screaming from somewhere in the village. Looking out the window, there's a faint glow of fire several homes away. Then the fire starts to appear in other areas, and it is not fate. Screaming from multiple sources, he needs to get Kina and his mother out of here. He finds them both awake and fumbling into the common room around the same time as him. A quick conversation, they pack essentials that they could carry and fled. After a few minutes of expedient fleeing, they didn't hear or see anything coming towards them. "What in the hell was that?" Keenan whispers loudly. Another scream, cut short. Malzi, Ilir's mother, falls to the ground, an arrow deep in her chest. Ilir and Keena both hold her briefly. Emotions are building, escalating, overflowing, as a metallic swish noise accompanies a flail that bears down on Keena and Ilir. A large shadowy figure is breathing heavily. Keena grabs Ilir and almost begins dragging him away before they start sprinting faster than they could before with their older mother. Exhaustion. Out of breath. Keena and Ilir lock fall over near some bushes. Seems like they've been running forever. "I think you're safe now, Ilir," Keena gasps. "Me? What are you talking about? We're both safe," Lirlock replies. Lirlock realizes the gravity of the situation as he sees the arrow protruding from Keena's belly. He can feel the wet, warm blood across her abdomen. "No, no!" Lirlock goes, "No, I can't lose you too!" "Lir, it's okay. You're safe now." Sadness, fear, anger, and loneliness cause tears to well up in Lirlock's eyes. "I don't know what to do without you." He looks back at Keena. No response. "Keena, what do I do?" No response. A new sense of loss and despair fills Alirlok's mind. Hours pass and Alirlok's eyes burn. He's now truly alone in this world. No father, no mother, no sister, and nobody to call a friend. Despite not believing in any gods before, he begins muttering prayers to the gods he's heard of, and even the ones he hasn't. Prayers to change his fate, to reverse time, to bring back his family, to change his luck. Zoom out to see those same eyes, but instead of streaming rivers of tears, they have a contemplative flicker looking across the firelight at two companions, badly wounded, but still alive. Those eyes begin to warm before returning to see a white sheet draped over a nearby form before his eyes harden again. You guys are sitting around in Moloch's laboratory, having gently placed a sheet over the now deceased dwarf Gonal and
vanquished
the bow, closed all the doors and secured yourself as best you can. As you guys were settling in and tidying down, Shadow, you find a strange item as you're looking over the electronics and strange mechanisms that you had stabbed earlier. You notice a book lying off to the side in a very conspicuous way inside of this thing, almost latched in, and you take it out and begin flipping through it, and you notice that there's all these strange glyphs and arcane symbols in it, but nothing that you recognize. It's all very foreign to you. You're not quite sure what it means, but you're sure it has some sort of use to it. What order are you guys going to do your watches?
I've got 12 HP. Maybe the lowest HP should rest first.
Okay.
So I know Alirlock is like, what are you, Alirlock 11?
That's right.
I'm at 12. Shadow, I don't know what yours is.
9.
Oh God.
Bye.
So I'll take first watch.
Okay.
And we still have a boar and an owl.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll keep the boar up with me. Scruffy.
Oh yeah, Scruffy. Let me rename him here.
Scruffy 2.
Scruffy 2. Except it's going to be Scruffy T-O-O. Okay. So as you guys drift off to sleep, you know, in this strange place and the hard floor, and there's weird just vibes, for lack of a better word. You're able to get to bed and get some rest, but your dreams are troubled as you sleep. Shadow, you're finally get your head to settle down and rest, and before you know it, you open your eyes and you see before you a familiar face. Oh, one boy. That you sometimes call friend, but sometimes call other things. Probably the best word would be patron, I guess. This
bitch.
Beautiful, strange, almost alien-featured woman steps forward, and she's hovering over you as you lie there, and she picks up that book that you had before, and she begins flipping through it. She says, "What a fascinating little book you found. Of course, it won't be any of you use to you if you can't read it, now will it?" And she clamps it closed and lays it on your chest, and you realize you can't move. You're just laying there perfectly still on your back, staring up at her face, and she's kind of hovering over you. And she reaches up and like purses her lips and presses her finger against it, and then reaches that finger forward and touches it to the top of your head, and you have this strange sensation wash through your body all the way down to the tips of your toes. And then you wake up and you see Tolik sitting there. There's no creature above you or anything like that. There's a boar eating some of random things that Tolik has found around the room, feeding him. You look at the book and you open it up, and sure enough, it's just full of strange arcane symbols that you can't read. And you're about to close it again, and then you realize that the symbols morph and change and warp to become something that you do understand. And at the same time that they're changing, you begin to understand both the symbols that were written as well as the new ones that appear. And it goes from this very harsh geometric patterning to a much more freeform flowing ink across the pages, almost like a Japanese calligraphy style flow into it. Joey, as you're sleeping there, you too have a strange and troubled dream, or rather Alirlok does, of a freckle-faced tomboy, a human, effortlessly leaping between floating rocks on a background of golden sunlight. Just a beautiful sunset behind. She occasionally tumbles from one rock and you think she's going to fall, and incomprehensibly she will skitter off of a rock and land on her feet on the next rock down below without seeming to take any wounds or misfortune at all, merrily going about her way. But as you're watching, it's like you're sitting on a bench and you feel yourself falling backwards off of the bench. And as you fall, your view is flipped around as you go upside down. And this time you see another woman, much fairer than Tamora, who you had just been viewing. But she has a darkness, unfriendliness to her. The sky becomes black as ink, and this new figure dances among the stars. But however graceful she may be, she keeps falling, not to her own lack of skill, but to unfortunate circumstances. First, a comet strikes her and knocks her off of the constellation she's dancing on. Then a constellation shifts from one form to another, sending her falling down, plummeting below. As she falls, she glances back at Alirlok and stares into his heart before he wakes, too, with a start.
At that point, I'm going to take a coin out of my pocket. It's going to have... it's the coin that I wear around my neck. It was in my pocket when I went to sleep. And I flip it.
What side does it land on?
It is going to be landing on Tails, which is going to be something I will share later.
Okay. As Shadow wakes up, he takes over for Tolik to go ahead and begin his rest. Talik, as you dream, you imagine yourself soaring over the great hills and green mountains of Mekzim, and you see a huge orc settlement before you, stone walls carved into the mountainside and great towers dotting the wall and mountain. Slowly, though, from the center of the city swells a cloud of green smoke. The cloud grows and grows to envelop the entire city. As it does, the screams of orcs fill his ears before being snuffed out, until eventually the smoke overtakes Talik as well, coating every inch of you in thick green boils until you lurch awake. You check your hands for where the boils were, and instead of boils, you see new scales upon your skin. As all of you guys reach level 8, baby!
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
All right, that's all the stuff I've got to get us into it. Thank you for indulging me. We do need to do one formality with leveling up, which is roll for HP.
Stressful.
Yeah.
Okay, I got me a D8 and a D10. Let's do it. I'm just going to do it in the order I have it in my spreadsheet, because that's easiest for me.
Am I D6 or D8 for Sorcerer?
You're a D6. Let me get a D6 for you. Oh, y'all are just D8 and D6s, because nobody's... Okay. All right. So, Shadow? D8, you ready?
No.
All right. I'm going to roll one.
No, I'm ready.
All right. I rolled a 5. Pretty good. Better than average.
7.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Nice.
D6. All right. Talik.
I'm ready.
D6.
1.
Oh, no. I rolled a 1.
Fuck.
Talik, no.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
The pain of rolling. That sucks. All right. Malir Lock, you're a D8. Clerics freaking know how to party. All right. I got a 4 for you. You got a 3. All right. So 4 for a Malir Lock. All right. So the new totals I have for you guys are 71 for Shadow, 70 for Talik, and 68 for Leerlock. Talik, man, that's rough.
And we get a long rest?
Yes, and y'all can go ahead and click the long rest button.
My D&D Beyond is like every button is clicked, all my spells, all my sorcery points, all my Battlemaster, like everything.
Oh my gosh. 100%. You guys were freaking helped. All right, that's it. That's everything.
The boar and owl are gone.
Okay, they don't last overnight.
No, they last till dawn. So when the circlet of blasting started glowing, they disappeared. Poof.
I love it. Yeah, so you guys are fully rested. Nothing attacks you or anything. Lots of weird whirs and clicks. I'm sure that's part of what troubled your dreams.
All right, what's this big ham hock we're gnawing on here?
Yeah.
Do we see anything of value around the room on all these little trinkets? And I don't know how good we looked before the battle.
Maybe y'all looked pretty good. I actually... Okay. I gave y'all some loot at the beginning of last session that I had like forgot to give y'all when y'all first searched. You probably don't remember it from the madness of, you know.
Okay.
Everything. So yeah, there's not much else to find. So, does anybody want to share any cool stuff they got from their level up, or just keep it a secret? What do people?
I'm good.
Yeah. I'll share.
Okay. All right. Share up.
I got an ability score increase, which I did not take. I took a feat instead. So I took the Crusher feat. When I perform a hit with bludgeoning damage, I can move a creature up to 5 feet away from me. And if I score a critical hit on that creature with bludgeoning damage, then attacks against that creature have advantage.
And the way I read that, that's for everyone that attacks that creature.
Yeah.
For the next
round. Until my next turn.
Yeah, until your next turn. That's pretty sweet.
Agreed.
Hey, quick inventory note. I just looked at the bag of holding. Who has the that bone club that we got?
Joey.
It is actually in my hands.
Awesome.
We'll share one thing.
Okay.
I doubled my second level spell slots. My pack spell slots are now second level instead of first level.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's going to be so handy. So every short rest, you get two level two spell slots instead mm-hmm. of the level one short rest ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'll say I leveled up my sorcerer, so I gained some abilities, like some...
Meta magic.
Yeah, meta magic. So basically I have like, I can do like these modified spells to make them stronger.
Yeah. What'd you pick?
I did twinned spell, which basically just doubles it. If I target
two people instead of one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I also picked a quickened spell, which allows me to cast a spell with a bonus action.
Ooh. So you could... And if you got enough sorcery points, you could do both on those, right? Or does it say you can only do one meta magic per spell?
It depends on which one you look at, but I think those I can use them together. But I could take two sword swings and then cast a spell.
Yeah, and then cast a spell and twin it, and then action surge for two more sword swings. Like, you can burst yourself into oblivion with that.
That's pretty much it. And then I did tinker with my spells during that long rest.
Sure, yeah. I don't know what new spells everybody got. Like, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever.
Y'all, who knows what y'all are going to do with spells? We'll figure that out.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So.
So, is this machine still whirring?
It's whirring. It's definitely seems to be in like a idle state.
You just stay idle. So, Shadow is going to get close to where the wall shifted, but not all the way up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay. Let me see here. So, you are not getting any magical aura from your casting. Except for a real light transmutation aura coming from the pedestal.
Okay. I was already pissed off about this wizard guy killing that one dwarf. Now he's killed another one. He tried to kill us. Let's fuck him up.
He damn near got us.
And then just going to try to continue to get through here.
Yeah, so you go and you can easily slide the secret stone door out of the way now that it's been cracked ajar. You proceed forward for a little ways, and very quickly the light that y'all were enjoying from the previous room fades out as you enter into complete and total blackness. You continue on for just a short ways, not very far.
Alirlock, why don't you turn on that drift globe?
You got it. And pull the drift globe out and say the magic word.
Word.
Be bright.
Bird. Bird is the word.
Oh, you say bird. So you guys continue forward down a long hallway. It goes on, I mean, not real long, maybe 100 yards or so. And then it seems to go down several flights of stairs up ahead of you.
I think I would get in front. I've got the longsword of pallid light. Actually, you know what? I think I would pull out my shield the first time in a while. And carry the long sword of pallid light with one hand, just because this is spoopy.
Yeah, and that way you can really be the vanguard.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
is vanguard the front?
Sounds right.
Can be. All
right. So you go on just a little bit farther, and you find a turn, just a 90-degree turn to the left. You continue on. It's just a straight corridor, about 8 feet wide, and... As you're proceeding forward, you come to a
whoa, guys, whoa
T in the road, and it goes off to the left, right, and forward.
Shadow, this is your cue. You got any of those goats?
Yeah, I'll throw a rust ball down.
All right, let's see what you got. You always seem to get goats when you're going scouting. Let's see if that's what you get. What's your roll?
I got an owl.
I mean,
for a scout. For
scouting?
Yeah.
Okay, so an owl. And then I'm going to cast Beast Sense on the owl and just collapse right here in front of y'all.
Yep, I just kind of stand right over his body. My shield, looking side to side. Shifty eyes.
Okay, so the owl's going to go right. And the owl has...
If the owl doesn't have dark vision, it has dark vision. I don't care what its sheet says.
120 feet of dark vision. With a passive perception.
Oh, that makes sense, though.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Night hunters.
So you fly forward, and when you get to the edge of what I got on the map there, can you go ahead and roll me a d6?
Six.
Okay, so as your owl is flying forward, it crosses across this little threshold here, and as soon as it does, you hear a click noise.
And the owl immediately dives down to the ground, slides, and tumbles.
Okay. So he dives down and slides and tumbles. And you guys see collapse right behind him as he's flying a portcullis. Ooh. And it traps him off on the other side of this thing.
Glad that was the owl. I say.
Shadow's going to spin. Yeah.
A Learlock.
Shadow's just going to get the owl up and keep flying.
Okay. Can you roll me another d6?
Mother of Pearl. Six.
Oh,
shit. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Do you hear and see and everything from the owl?
Yeah.
Okay. You hear another click.
Same thing. Gonna dip down.
Okay. I'm going to give you advantage on your dexterity saving throw that I need you to make.
Oh my gosh. It's plus one to dex. Okay. With advantage. Seven.
Oh no. So a bunch of arrows shoot out of the walls, and he gets shot by these poison arrows. He takes, oh shit, max damage on the piercing, 8 piercing damage, and 15 poison damage.
I mean, he's been dead since the first arrow hit him.
So the arrows just, and he just falls to the ground, and you're super.
Shadow snaps back, he's like, oh, it was just the owl. Guys, we can't go that way.
Okay.
Noted.
Shadow's going to throw another rust ball out.
Oh, God.
Lion would be nice.
Another owl.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So this time, the owl... Oh. Oh, going to have to burn another spell. Sense and fly to the left.
Alright, roll me a d6.
Wow. Okay.
I think this time as he does it, I'm going to creep forward to the straight path.
2.
Alright. A 2. You are flying along and you come to a T intersection.
Left.
Taylor, go ahead and roll me a d6 for where you're standing.
Okay. Oh, I got a 6. Wherever it landed.
Shit.
I can't tell if that's good.
So, Talik.
I think that's bad.
You hear a click.
I jump.
Which way?
Direction?
Straight up.
Okay. Oh. So, you you jump straight up, and as you do, you feel a razor-close haircut on the back of your head as another portcullis lands, but this one lands right behind you, separating you from the rest of the group.
Shit. What's that saying about curiosity and cats?
Seth, what's your roll one for me real quick? Let's go ahead and enter into initiative mode.
Oh god. Okay.
4.
11.
Oh, initiative mode.
Nat 20.
Your D6 was a 4. So
yeah.
Okay.
15 for initiative.
So this time, Seth, your owl comes up to a four-way intersection.
Flies back and it goes to the right.
North on this map. All right, roll me another D6.
Oh, my fuck. 1.
A 1. Roll me another D6.
Huh? 3.
3. You see a stairwell leading upwards.
Why is that the stairwell?
Okay.
I'm looking back towards the Leerlock and I'm tap my sword on this portcullis, like, see what it's made out of.
Yeah. It appears to be made out of some pretty heavy duty steel. Alright, you make it to the top of the stairs.
What's up there?
Roll me a D6.
Mother of pearls. Pearly pearls. 1.
Roll me another D6.
Like that. 1.
It just appears to continue going straight.
Keep going.
Alright, roll me another D6.
2.
Another T intersection going left and right.
Right.
Okay.
I pull out the adamantine axe and hack this thing.
Okay.
That scared me, so I'm coming back to Alir.
Okay.
It's an automatic max crit, which is... You want me to tell you the damage?
We'll just say that you can hack through it.
Okay. I hack through it and walk back towards Leerlock and Shadow's body.
Okay. Where were you saying? You were at the
welcome back.
Turn.
Taking a right.
Taking a ready. All right, roll me another D6.
6.
Click!
The owl just slams into the right side of the path and just keeps just sliding down the right side.
Something falls right on top of the owl as he's trying to fly.
Oh my god.
And completely envelops him.
Like a gelatinous cube?
And, yeah, it does 2d6 acid damage to him. Let me see what the damage is. I
mean, he died when it landed on him.
Okay, yeah.
Shadow. Oh, it was just the owl. Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you guys, but I've been flying around. We're in a maze, and there's bad shit everywhere. And I'm pretty sure up over that way and around the corner, there's a gelatinous cube eating an owl.
Eating an owl? Well,
that's unsettling.
Yeah, I agree. Why is that portcullis in front of us?
Oh, I don't know. It just, yeah, it's been there.
Huh.
Also happens to have, you know, cuts and stuff in it. Missing pieces of it.
I'm sliding the adamantine axe back into the bag of holding.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that we're gonna die.
I don't think we're gonna die. Which way should we go?
Straight.
All right. Let's just squeeze through this hole that's been here since before we got here. It looks like it's about the size of me. Oh, that's perfect.
That's convenient.
Right,
what's y'all's marching order?
I'm in front with the shield out.
All right, go ahead and make me a d6 roll.
Wait.
Yeah?
I mean, you gotta do that now, but...
Oh, shit. Oopsie.
Whoopsie!
Whoopsie.
4.
4. Okay. You come to a dead end.
Huh. Well, nothing this way.
You didn't scout this way, did you, buddy?
Oh, I didn't. I figured we'd use our bodies.
Is there like a, is it a wall? Like just a brick wall?
Yeah, it's just it looks like the same rest of this wall.
Can I inspect it?
Absolutely.
What should I do? Like an investigation?
Yes.
Oh, 7. It was almost a nat 20. It rolled right off.
Yeah, just appears to be a flat brick wall. Appears to be a plain dead end.
God, I was going to cast magic detection on it before he inspects it.
Let me see here. You do not detect any nearby magics.
Okay. And then he's going to investigate it.
Okay.
15?
Yeah, it seems like a normal wall.
Just a fucking wall. Okay.
We just spend all night just investigating this wall. All right, back the way we came. Damn it. Way do you think was better, left or right?
So, to the right, were poison arrows, and I don't know if there's more. To the left, there's a staircase that goes to a gelatinous cube, and then some other directions that I haven't been yet.
Staircase sounds promising, and I just take off that way.
Okay.
Hey, Learlock, what about some of that fancy cleric guidance stuff that you do to make our souls good?
I'm not into that.
Oh. Yeah. Give me some soul glow.
Okay. Some soul glow?
Yeah.
So as you crest that top of the stairwell, Taylor.
Wait. Okay. You're really not going to cast guidance on us? Oh.
No.
You see a wriggling mass about 30 feet ahead lurching towards you.
I found what ate your owl.
It's it appears to be a large square creature.
We go back or do y'all want to kill this thing?
Oh, let's kill it.
I say we kill it. And I rush forward.
Okay. Alright, now we definitely need initiative. For real, for real.
You just want to use the ones we already did?
I will. I will use the rolls from earlier. Talek, you are first.
Alright. I got my shield and my left arm out in front of me. I pull out the longsword of pallid light. I go rushing towards this gelatinous cube. And a strange effect that you guys have not seen envelops my blade as kind of a wind and a little bit of a shimmer. And I'm going to cast Booming Blade as I swing at this gelatinous cube.
Okay.
I just totally missed my first swing.
Okay, is Booming Blade...
Oh,
Booming Blade,
yeah. No, I only get one swing, so I just miss. I just totally miss.
That's the risk of the boom.
And I'll end my turn.
Okay.
I rolled a nat 1.
Shadow, you are next.
Okie dokie. Shadow's going to shoot an Eldritch Blast at it. 9 to hit.
It is a giant square ooze. That's a hit.
Oh, thank goodness. So that will do 10 damage and knock it back 10 feet.
Hey, I wouldn't have hit with an 8, would I?
I'm tall.
Yeah, you would have hit with an 8.
Oh, well, that's what I got.
Was it a nat 1, though?
It wasn't that one.
That ones are misses no matter what.
Okay, that's fair.
And then blast another Eldritch Blast shot down into there. That'll be a 12 to hit.
Uh-huh.
And so then that'll be another 9 damage and knock it back another 10 feet. So that's nice. A total of 20 feet knocked back away from Talek.
Hell yeah.
Okay. 20 feet back.
Love that.
Boom. Okay, and then Alirlock, you are next.
Is this hallway essentially forcing us to be single file?
No, it's like 8 feet wide, so I mean, 10 feet is mechanically how much room you need to stand next to each other, so you can stand next to each other.
I'll cast Shield of Faith on Taluk, since he's in the near the front.
Hell, what yeah. Does that give me?
+2 to your AC.
So guess what my AC is right now? 22.
I was about to say, I know what it is, and I don't like it.
22! Let's go!
22. Alright. Well, it is the cube's turn. And here's the thing about gelatinous cubes. They only have 15 feet of movement. So it moves 15 feet, and then it is going to move 15 feet again. However, it is allowed to move into other creatures' spaces.
Oh, gosh.
And when it does so...
Oh, God.
That
no.
creature needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
No, no, no.
Don't fail.
8.
Taluk fails his save. Must trip on a rock or something as this thing goes to envelop him, like something in a bad horror movie. And he is absorbed into the cube. You immediately take 10 acid damage, and you are restrained, and you begin suffocating, which the rules for suffocating are super lenient. It's like minutes. I think it's 1 plus your con mod minutes. So I don't think it's relevant for this type of encounter.
Okay.
But you begin suffocating and are restrained, and you can try to escape by using an action to make a strength check. And it's your turn.
I will make a strength check and try to escape.
Absolutely.
I was just going to make sure that I don't have resistance to acid damage.
I don't think you do. We talked about it. I think it's something you get like much later in your sorcerer.
Okay. I'm going to make a strength. What kind of check? A saving throw or a check?
No, a strength check. So it's just a flat strength check.
Is it the same as an athletics check?
It would be, except you have proficiency added to your athletics, so you don't add your proficiency.
Oh, okay. I see where I do it.
Click the strength number.
Oh my god, a 7.
Oh my gosh, it's not that hard of a check, but you fail and are stuck within this thing.
Fuck. Can I do anything else?
No, that's all you can do. So you try to swim out of this thing and fail and are stuck inside of it, just like flailing around trying to get out.
To be continued on the next episode of Dungeons and Dragons and Dummies. Find out what happens to our party next week.